Welcome back to our 26th episode of the Launch Your Farm Show, where I interview David Greenspan. David is the VP of Kits Marketing and the founder of Mindshare 101. In this episode, Dave and I talk about why you must build mindshare with your farm to get the most market share. David shares why it's critical to start with your budget and build your plan around that. We also talk about what strategies you must use to effectively communicate with your audience and to build trust. Plus, we talk about a super easy way to use your client's data to create amazing customized messages to each person in your database. We also talk about how to create a message that resonates and causes your farm to put their hands up wanting more. Plus, we talk about a ton of other ideas that you can use to grow your geographic farm. So be sure to check out this episode, like and subscribe, and enjoy the episode with David. Welcome back to another episode of Launch Your Farm Show. I'm your host, Ryan Smith, and today we've got a great guest. It's David Greenspan from, I'm going to give you two titles. So it's VP of Kits Marketing and the founder of Mindshare 101. So David, take a second, tell us a bit about yourself and why you're here.
Well, I'm here because you invited me to be here. Yeah. You know what? I appreciate it, man. Rye, thank you very much for inviting me to be on your show today. Always looking forward to giving value out to the audience. And I know you got a great audience that you're building out there. So it's a pleasure to be here for sure, man. For myself, you know, we started 16 years ago. We started a company called Kits Keep In Touch Systems, where we focused really on, at the time, it was a direct mail newsletter. It was this idea of, look, you've got a contact list of people. We're going to help you get out there and stay in front of people, which I today coin as building mindshare, which we'll get to. But the idea was to stay in front of people and really get out to your main contact list. Now, this was just on the brink of, like, literally before this guy, you might have heard of his name, Mark Zuckerberg. You ever heard of
him? No, never heard.
Small guy, little company that he created. But he had just launched that company probably within the 12-month period that we had launched ours.
Okay.
And when you look at the realities, I mean, jokes aside now, Facebook versus like sending out paper marketing, Facebook was still brand new.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't this machine. It was becoming the machine very quickly, but it wasn't the machine it is today. And so at the time, a lot of the traditional styles of getting out there to build your business were still very much in play through making your phone calls and getting out there schmoozing with people, being the first in the coffee shop or the gym or whatever, sending out direct mail newsletters. Email newsletters weren't even the big thing yet.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where we started from. And we were fortunate, built a wonderful business, a really, really big following of folks that signed up and continue to stick with us today, even in the face of all of this digital. Because I'm a very big believer that we need to support all those channels, which I'm sure we'll get into more as we talk. But, you know, that's where we began, was creating this direct mail newsletter, which then morphed itself into the email newsletters and CRM and social media and farming flyers and, you know, thank you cards and calendars. And I mean, websites now, like, you know, it's gone the distance to be this massive machine to help you build mindshare.
Yeah.
Well, when you look at it from back then, what we were trying to do was sell people, right? Just, hey, want to buy something? Yeah. And I mean, look, don't get me wrong, we had a lot of people buying, but we also, just like any other sales game, you got to knock on a lot of doors or take a lot of shots to get that goal, to get that opportunity. And so in that, what you're doing now is you're talking to agents and you're starting to learn, where are their struggles? Where are their challenges? Why do they want this? Or what's it going to help them with? Or why don't they want it? Right? Yeah. Like, why are people saying no? What do they think they got? Like, how could anybody possibly have anything better than what I offer? Right? So you're doing all this learning and you're starting to go, what is it really about this industry that we need to do to crack into it? And as you're having, you know, I mean, I'd say today, tens of thousands of conversations, never mind hundreds or thousands anymore. But as you're having all these conversations and you're learning, you're finding commonalities. And as you find commonalities with people around where they're winning, where they're losing, why they want, why they don't want, instead of doing a sales pitch, now you're trying to educate, right? So tell me more. Well, you know, what are you looking to solve? And I think you and I talked about this on the Mindshare podcast a couple of weeks ago when, you know, somebody calls me up and they want to farm. And I mean, gratefully, we have a wonderful team at the office that handles all this stuff now. But when they call up and they want to farm, even my team knows, the first question is like, where do you want to farm? It's like, well, why do you want to farm? Yeah. What are you going to do to support that farm? Right? What does your budget look like? And these are questions that somebody selling a product doesn't typically ask. Somebody selling a product goes, great, well, how many do you want?
Exactly.
Right?
Or they go into why theirs is best and just use mine because it's better. And it's like, no.
Exactly.
Get to know
those other guys and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And again, we quickly found, and I mean myself, where I had started this thing really ground level, right? Grassroots was the more you learn, the more you educate, the more you can help people figure out what they really want or need. And we know that when we're trying to satisfy a need, and this is sales 101, right? When we're trying to satisfy a need, if we can satisfy that need, now we have the client, right? Because that's what it comes down to. Like, I need something. And if you can help me get that, and you made it a lot easier for me to get it, now I'm in, right? Yeah, and typically speaking, well, figuring out how to satisfy the need and doing all the learning, this sort of broke into this thing called mindshare. And not just developing this sort of like, you know, way of saying, hey, brand yourself and get out there and market yourself, which is what Build Mindshare is all about, right? Yeah. Is to get out there and do it across a number of different channels. It started to turn into presentations and keynotes and, you know, people wanting you to come out and educate their people. And then they'd be like, hey, can you come out and educate and not sell anything? And you're like, yeah, totally. Then you realize you're spending all this time going out to educate. You're not allowed to pitch.
Yeah.
Everybody else is benefiting. You've had a great time. It's a lot of fun, but my time needs to be worth something as well.
Yeah.
And that's where Mindshare 101 was born. And it wasn't this thing of trying to monetize. It was this thing of like building a ecosystem around this education and this value and this training for the industry, because you realize it. And here's the other thing too, is that, and I said this directly to the real estate college, so I have no harm in saying this right now. I don't care who's listening to this one. Yeah. And a lot of the agents will go like, man, he's so right about that. They teach you the legalities. They teach you the paperwork. They teach you how to stay safe, which is definitely needed. They teach you what to do when you are at the table.
Yeah.
But you and I, we are teaching on things that are getting you to the table.
Exactly.
Well, it's one thing to know what to do when you're at the table, but if you can't get to the table, you're going to have a serious problem, right? What do you do with all this information? So this is exactly the mindshare idea, is getting out there and educating. And it's, again, what you're doing with Launch Your Farm, right? Through all the training and stuff. It's let's educate people.
Exactly.
Let's share knowledge. Let's turn this into a conduit of information that people can look at and say, I can learn. And I, you know what? I trust in them, in him or him. I trust. Yeah. I'm going to ask more questions. And all of a sudden, you get the opportunity to now be their trusted advisor. Yeah. You then get the opportunity to help them fulfill a need. And now you've locked in a relationship. And where does business come from? It comes from relationships.
Exactly.
So again, Mindshare being a sort of education platform, Mindshare 101, now you can get training, you can get speaking, which then took us into coaching, because it's one thing to get up in front of an audience for 60 minutes, but it's not enough time to really make the impact you want to make, which means let's get into some ongoing training as groups. Yeah. Well, wonderful. Now everybody's taking notes and they're doing, but you can't hold a group of people accountable the same way you can hold an individual accountable. You can't help
unless you're a cult. If you're a cult, then
okay, I mean, you know, like if you sort of keep everybody chained in somewhere, like you don't let them go anywhere. But it's that stemmed to the one-to-one coaching, which then allows the people that are in the group to go, okay, I get it. Can you really walk me through this? And now we're getting into those individuals, those different personalities, and we're really pulling out the depths of like, where are your strengths? Where are your weaknesses? What are you looking to accomplish? Why are you looking to accomplish that? Right. And what are we going to do to get you there?
That's a big part of it.
Yeah. And that's where we're at today. And I mean, now you got, you know, videos and podcasts and trainings and sessions and coaching. And I mean, it's awesome, man. So my time is now very much focused on Mindshare, where my team is maintaining the ongoing day-to-day with kits. I mean, that's still my baby. I'm still in there on a regular basis, coordinating all the time and whatnot. But, you know, we're out here now trying to educate, right? Trying to make this industry a better place, trying to make people understand more where their business comes from and how to get more of it.
Yeah, that's key. So for you, kits then is designed specifically for real estate agents. It's not
real estate and mortgages.
Right. So within the real estate world, because that's where I think a lot of people make mistakes when they come to certain products and programs, and they go to the hire company that does social media marketing and it's not geared to real estate, or they hire someone to do their newsletter and it's not geared to real estate. I think that's one of the big things that separates you guys, is that you focus on that world. So you know the world, you know what is important to people, you know what resonates and what doesn't work. Because I've talked to coaches and trainers and people who are not in our world, and it's like, you don't understand it. You don't understand. And they think, well, it's sales is sales and business is business. And it's not, because there's a lot of differences between our industries and others. So it's awesome that you guys have done that. So if a client walks in the door and says, hey, I'm brand new, because you did this for your show and you said, I'm brand new, I'm new agent, what would the process look like for someone who says, hey, I'm new, how do I get involved?
Absolutely. with the KITS program, what we did and what we've always never wavered from is that you need to be sending out a newsletter.
Yeah.
And that newsletter needs to go out to your contact list. So therefore you need a contact list. So right off the hop, what a lot of people's first questions are is how much?
Yeah.
Well, how big of a contact list do you have? Well, I don't know. It just depends, you know, how much does it cost? Well, we can't tell you that until we know the size of your list. I mean, I can give you the price list and I can show you the different variations of, like, depending on the quantity you send out, what it's going to cost you.
Right.
I can tell you that setup is going to cost you X amount of dollars, but we cannot tell you your exact monthly bill until we understand how many contacts you're mailing to.
Yeah.
So one of the first questions we ask is, like, how big of a contact list do you have? Which what ends up happening, Ryan, is that some people tell you, I've got, you know, 372 people. Wonderful. And you've got addresses for all those people. Yes. Boom. Here's your price.
Yeah.
Right. Other people might go, well, I don't know. I don't know. Say 1,000. No, you don't. Right. I just moved into the neighborhood. I am new to the country. I don't know anybody.
Yeah.
So what just happened? We just realized that they have a need. We know this stuff, right? They need to build a contact list to be successful in this business.
Yeah.
And whether you start from going after your farm area, as you and I have both, feed them into the contact list, right?
Yeah.
Let's take that through that, the people that put their hand up, take the progression and keep moving them through.
Yeah.
So it's the same idea that we really want to determine numbers on a list. And if they don't know or don't have a list, we want to help them figure that out. We want them to understand what a list is. It's not just a first name and a last name, but it's a full mailing address. And then it's getting further, right? Because some people might tell you, oh, I got emails for all these people. Well, no, we need to know addresses.
Yeah.
Well, what do I need their address for? Now you're like, whoa, let's go down this hall for a second. Do you realize you're in real estate and you should know where they live, right? Like, if you want to help them buy and sell, you should understand what's going on. This gets right down to the nitty gritty of, like, not just the demographics, but the psychographics.
Yeah.
Right. So understanding that, that's really where we start off, is trying to get, you know, what size of list you have. Where I like to go with it is, what else are you doing for marketing?
Right.
Right. What are you doing out there? What channels are you using? And then we can also figure out, how can we help them fill those gaps? So for example, if they're, you know, very on the up and up with social media, but you go, what are you doing for your contact list? Well, not enough. Well, did you know that we can do a 10 time year newsletter for you, where we mail it out for you? You don't have to think about it. You don't have to do anything. We're going to write it, design it, print it, put it in an envelope, send it off, all that stuff. And we can do an email newsletter for you. Well, I don't know if I need to send both. Well, hold on. They're sent at different time of the month and they're completely different content, right? And you don't know where I'm looking. You don't know if I'm looking at my mailing list or at my mailbox every day. You don't know if I'm looking at my email. You don't know if I'm looking at both, right? Then you start to break it down and ask them to filter out their list. And it's kind of like, well, who are your top people? And maybe just your top people get your direct mail. So your top 150, 200, whereas like the 1,000 get the email.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of helping them structure through that, because the big thing that started off this question was how much.
Yeah.
Well, now as you start to filter through what kind of contact list they have, and all of a sudden they go like, you know, I got $300 to spend, but I got 500 people on a mailing list. Well, your 300 ain't going to satisfy the 500.
Exactly.
So let's figure out who those people are. So now again, you're trying to take them down this road of understanding how to really leverage the contact list. But we've taken it so much further, because there's an entire CRM system there, and there's action plans and drip campaigns. And then there's, you know, setting up call lists so you know who you're calling. And now we've gone so much further from just offering out this direct mail newsletter to somebody.
Yeah.
We're helping them really structure, how are they going to get out there and build mindshare?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Taking it further, let's learn more about what they're doing with social. Hey, did you know that we curate social media content for you 4 or 5 times a week? You can take that and post it out on your own behalf, right? So we're helping them really figure that part through, but it really starts off with, what does your contact list look like?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I find a lot of agents get, in my experience, has been, they'll say, well, I don't want to mail anything out because of the budget. So then they say, okay, I don't want to mail anything out. And they go, well, I don't really want to email anyone too, because I want to hound them. So I don't want to email them anything. It's like, okay, well, I'm not really regular on social media. It's like, okay, well, then how are you going to reach people? Because like there's only so many, I mean, there's 1,000 ways you can reach them, but there's only so many ways you can actually get in front of them, whether it's physical, digital, and they want to avoid those. And it's like, if you put those things in place and realize, I'd rather have 200 people that get all of those touches than 600 people that get one touch or one way. Cause it's like, the more you reach them, the better it's going to be.
And this is the thing, is there's not 1,000 ways to connect with people. There's actually seven. Seven. Yes, right? I'm just going to go there. I say this all the time. I leave the radio and television out of the mix. Yep. Right? So when we really break it down, you think about getting in front of people, like physically.
Yeah.
COVID. We think about making phone calls. We think about texting people.
Yeah.
We think about integrating our social media on an organic level, meaning you're engaged in it. You're not just having some company do it for you.
Right.
Then we think about the fact that you can have a company do it for you. We think about direct mail. We think about email and websites. There's your seven ways to communicate with people.
Yeah.
Now, the active and the passive, right? Active, in-person, phone, text message, and again, split that social media. The passive, again, split that social, direct mail, email, and website.
All right.
So one of them you're very much engaged in. The other one you don't, it's part of you. It's your brand. It's your message, but you're not physically delivering it right now.
Yeah.
Right. You could be doing this podcast and an email newsletter is going out for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, how do you know where I'm looking?
You don't.
You don't.
Yeah.
How do you know where I'm not looking? You don't.
Yeah.
So this whole thing of bombarding people, and I want to talk to both those things. One about the email and two about the direct mail. Because one, on the front of email, when we think about bombarding people, look, I'm subscribed to certain people that I literally, and I could pull it up right now, but I'm not going to drop names, where I'm getting three emails a day from this company. Three a day. And you might go, Dave, why haven't you unsubscribed yet? Because in fact, I purposely subscribe to these places. I didn't want to get inundated, but there are some good nuggets in this stuff. So I still use it to learn. It's just way too much. Much the same if you go to the other end of the spectrum, you go, well, let's send it out once a month. You send it out once a month. These people are going to drown you. You're not even going to be recognized because of how much is coming through. It used to be, and we used to say in this world, that we see over 3,500 advertising messages a day. I'm going to say that number is well over like 5,000. And I don't even know the exact number right now. I'm going to say it's skyrocketed.
Yeah.
When you think about the amount of ads you see on social, the amount of ads that pop up when you're online, and we're all going online into social media and everything else instinctively now. It's not even a thought anymore. It's just part of what we do.
Yeah.
These ads pop up. Go search a YouTube video, 13 seconds, 15 seconds, skip ad, right? You know you're exposed. That's just in that channel.
Yeah.
What about when you turn on the radio, turn on the television, open up your mailbox, open up your inbox?
Yeah.
It's everywhere, right? So for the amount of messaging we're seeing every single day, to send out an email, first of all, to not send out an email makes zero sense. Like you've got to take advantage of that channel, right? You have to take advantage of it. Keep it compliant, CASA legislation. The US is the exact same thing. There is legislation around spamming people. So you need to get your, you know, ultimately you want express consent from people. Implied gives you 6 months of permission, but express says, hey, you can email the people that the cows come home. It's up to them to unsubscribe.
Yeah,
and as long as you got that unsubscribe mechanism, you're safe. So what's the harm? So what? Somebody unsubscribes. Okay, keep moving. Go find that new person today. Add them onto your list. These things happen.
Exactly.
But if you're not sending the stuff out, you got no opportunity to maybe have people unsubscribe, but you also have no opportunity to have people subscribe. You've got nothing to subscribe to, right? And again, you don't know who's reading email, who's reading mail, who's doing what. So be there. Same thing with social media. If you're not that social media guru, hey, these days, social media, you got to be there, period. It's just part of marketing, right? It's not like a bright, shiny object anymore. It is literally a bona fide channel.
It's literally part of people's lives. Like it's ingrained in our lives. It used to be, like you said, it was a novelty. People would check it. And like now my mom is, I won't say her age, but she's significantly older than me.
Yeah.
And she's like, there. She checks her phone and she's using it. So it's like everyone's using it. So
of my parents do.
Yeah, they're there.
Like, so I corrected my dad the other day. He called something a group page. I'm like, dude, you cannot call it a group page. He's like, it is the same thing. I'm like, no. Maybe in some respect, somewhere in the world on something else it is. But this in social media, like a group and a page are completely different.
Yeah. And if you're not there, that's the other thing. If you're not on there, then it's like, then there are people going, why aren't they there? Like, how big are they? What are they doing if they're not on there?
Right. So now we look at the social landscape and we go back to this thing around direct mail of having this thought that it's expensive. Okay.
Yeah.
And I really want to hit home on this one and go and look at it like this. And I'll ask you this question. From what you know, and I'm talking just like two dudes talking about industry stuff that understand marketing, right? How much does somebody typically spend on social media if they want to have, like, if they want to spend money to advertise and promote?
Yeah.
Do you have an idea of what that monthly cost looks like?
I'd say 500, 1,000 bucks a month.
Is that ad spend or is that management?
Depends on what their approach would be. Okay. So I would say a few hundred bucks for management and then 5 to 1,000.
Okay. I've never heard a few hundred bucks for management. So, okay. And I'm not knocking what you said. For me, when I hear management, it's somewhere between 1,000 to 2,000.
Are you talking social media or online marketing?
Social media management.
Oh, okay. Somebody's no, then more.
Managed by social.
I'm thinking of like online ads, like running Facebook ads, like someone's running your Facebook ads for you.
That's what I'm talking about as well, though. They're going to run my Facebook ads. They're going to put up my just listed. They're going to put up some content.
Then it'd be more. Yeah, it'd be more than that. Yeah.
Okay. 1,000, 2,000 bucks is kind of the range, right? Yep. And give or take the package you take, but just let's average it out.
Yep.
Those guys will also tell you that you got to have like a $500 ad spend.
Yeah.
Which is on top of that social. Okay. So, social media itself, call it what it is, it's free.
Yeah.
Everything about it is free. You can click a button for free. You can post on your own behalf for free, right? It's free. You've elected and chosen to go and have somebody do it for you, maybe because A, a lack of knowledge, B, a lack of give a, you know what, to actually take the time to do it, or C, you go, you know what, I want to take the next step in what I'm doing. Right. Your organic game is on point. Now you spend. And that's the only time I'm going to tell you spend on social is when your organic game is on point. And having an organic game on point means you are constantly in there. So not that you're posting every day, but when you're on there with purpose. Yeah. You're going in, you're engaging with other people, you're creating that connection. That's organic game on point. Yep. Now you've built an audience, an organic audience. Now you have something to advertise to. Well, when you go to advertise on social media, again, $1,000 to $2,500.
Yeah.
All right. So that's your cost factor with social. Let's go to the other direction. And who are we talking to when we do that? Realistically, I'm picking a farm area, right? Yeah. Which you and I both know. We don't know all those people yet.
Yeah.
The goal is to get those people.
Yeah, exactly.
Which means that we need to budget additional funds to be able to cultivate and convert those leads that we got through this advertising campaign, which the marketing needs to be able to convert. Oh, wait, where are we catching the leads? So in every step of the process, there's going to be another support system with another dollar value attached to it. So that social media game to advertise on that, again, it's not that it doesn't work. You need to budget for it and you need to recognize it is not a $200 spend.
Yeah.
Okay. So now let's go over to our direct mail. Direct mail, direct, is going to be geared towards your contact list. People that know you, like you, and trust you. Where does 70 to 90% of your business come from? People that know you, like you, and trust you. Yep. So where should you spend 79% of your marketing budget? People that know you, like you, and trust you. Because if you spend the right amount of time and effort in that group, you will pull out more business. You will have a higher ROI. Why? Because you didn't spend a ton of money on strangers. You went directly after this group that you know delivers you the majority of your business.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we say, well, how many people do you have on that group? Right? And I'll say, typically speaking, a good size, an average size that like makes great money is somewhere between 200 to 700 people.
Yeah. I was going to say 250 to 500 would be my...
There you go, right? So if you go to 200, 700, you meet one person a day, it's 365 new people a year. You can grow that list exponentially. It's not that everybody has to go in your direct mail, but now you've got we talk about our niche market. You've got a focused market of people to build mindshare with. And as long as you do that, they will continue to build your business.
Yeah.
Right? So where direct mail comes into that is it's the only channel you can use that actually connects with my house. Your social media didn't, that you just spent $2,000 on.
Yeah.
Your phone calls and text messages, which I still advocate you have to do. They still didn't connect with the house. They connected with me, but make sure you do those things. Your email I got through here. Your website I got through here. Your social media I got through here. What have you done to connect with my house?
Right.
You see, I believe that when it comes to real estate, you need to take advantage of physical paper marketing to send to somebody's home. Yeah, but you know, the cost... All right, perfect. Let's go there. So now, yes, you're going to have a hard cost. You're going to have to pay for a postage stamp. You're going to have to pay for the newsletter in the envelope. Absolutely. I can tell you through our system, it ranges. If you've got, you know, 500, 600, 700 people, you're going to be lower. If you've got, you know, 30 people, you're going to be a little higher. But let's take an average, say $1.50 a piece.
Yeah.
Okay. $1.50 a piece, including a postage stamp, an envelope, and a newsletter that you had nothing to do with, but completely branded to you. You send that out to your top 100 people. You add on a little bit of tax. What are you? Just shy of $200 a month.
Yeah.
Send it to your top 200 people. What are you? Just shy of 300 or just over 300? Like, you know what I'm saying here?
Yep.
Is it, or pardon me, a little bit higher than that, but the ROI from it is a lot higher because the audience that you're going after. Now, the overall cost, I mean, if you're spending $500 a month in your direct mail, you've got a list of somewhere around 250 people. You're right there in the sweet spot.
Exactly.
You're talking to the right audience.
Yeah,
exactly. And now again, the ROI is massive and it's still only a fraction of the cost of that social media ad spend. So there's a serious misconception that direct mail is expensive. In fact, it's not. It's very affordable because when you look and say, if I said to you this, and I'll spin it a different way, right? It's going to cost you about $15 a year to stay in touch with one of your most important people on your contact list. Would you spend it?
Of course. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So again, and then you could still go out to social media for free and talk to those people. You could still do all this other stuff at no cost. So again, direct mail has a massive, massive ROI. And in fact, when you combine your direct mail with your other channels and you introduce it, it creates a 70% higher brand recall.
Yeah.
Again, scrolling social, scrolling email. I see you. I can look you up. I see you. When I go to the mailbox and I touch that piece of paper and I walk it over to the blue bin, okay? It took me longer to walk into the blue bin than it did to delete your email or scroll past you on social media.
And I full-heartedly believe that the perceived value in hard copy outweighs it, the digital by far. And I use the example of a book all the time. And I talk about how if you see, I love books. I've downloaded a ton of eBooks and PDFs. It could be the exact same book, but I don't have the same value to it because it's a digital copy. I don't care about it. I just go, oh, yeah. And I never read it. But if I have the book, it's like, crap, I should read that book. And I hold more value to it. And it's the same with a newsletter, a hard copy of anything. It's like holding your hand has way more value and people appreciate it. The other thing is because everyone has moved to digital, there's that much more opportunities in hard copy mail because people aren't sending stuff. I know when I go get my mail, I get my bills. And then I get my junk and I throw it out. But it's like when I get something that's nice and I look forward to it, that stands out. When I scroll through social media, I just go scroll, 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 scroll. And I don't care. And there's very few things go, wow, that's great. But with a hard copy, it has that wow factor.
Think about what you just said there, right? Is we get away from mail because it seems like social's the place to be.
Yeah.
But everybody just went there. Why would you go to that? It's like... You're pulling up to the lineup and there's three lines you could choose. There's the long line or the short line, two lines you could choose. Never mind. Why are you going to the long line?
Yeah.
I don't understand the logic on it.
Yeah.
So much to say. Why are you going to social when, and it's not, again, I don't want to say don't go to social, right? But why are you just going to social and not do the mail?
Yeah.
Because you got a misconception that everybody's moving away from mail. Doesn't that create more opportunity for you? Exactly. Now let's go deeper for 1 second though. The neuroscience of it all says that the mail is the only one, the direct mail, is the only one that actually connects with the reptilian brain.
Yeah.
The what? The deepest part of our brain. The part of our brain that's also considered the instinctive brain. So there's the emotional part. There's the physical part, you know, that controls all your musculars and stuff. Those things there, they're all, they all get triggered when you see this type of stuff. But when you trigger both of those parts of the brain and then and it's like drilling a hole, you get down deeper. Now you're getting into the part that actually makes the decisions.
Yeah.
It's past the bright shiny object, the fancy schmancy, the slogans and all the stuff. It goes, whoa, wait a second. Why? Because we also integrated the physical part of it.
Yeah. That's a big part that a lot of agents miss because of, like I said, because of budget, but then also misconceptions that it doesn't work. And the opportunities are not a boundless, but there's a way more opportunities now than there were because when we didn't have internet and social media, everyone had to use direct mail. So everyone used direct mail and now we don't have that and people look forward to it and people legitimately like getting something. That's why people love Amazon. They love getting the package. They love opening it and they love grabbing a copy of it. I mean, I could go down to the store and pick up, but people would prefer that sometimes too because they want to hold it. Yep. If I just saw it online, it's not the same thing. So yeah, I think the mail is a big part of it. And the direct mail is a piece that agents have skipped over because I think they were misinformed and they were told by many agents who either haven't done it themselves or have tried it and failed. And then they get this, oh, don't do it. It doesn't work. It's a waste of time. It's not worth the money. And then they go, oh, I shouldn't do direct mail. It's like, no, there's a ton of opportunity, which is great for you and great for the agents who realize that. And when they do it regularly, it works.
And with kits, when we got into it, this was something that we had been doing for a joint campaign between HP and Microsoft way back when. Mm-hmm. And these are two little companies that have a couple marketing dollars behind them. So us as a small business, we were incredibly fortunate. We had a lot of marketing budget to play with to understand this technology, learn it, and really implement it. And when I say the technology, it's something called VDP, Variable Data Publishing. What that does is it's exactly that. You've got all sorts of data, say your contact list of 250 people.
Yeah.
We are going to take the variable pieces of that, the changing parts of that, and we're going to publish that information on a letter. So now when you think about it, if you've got 250 people on a contact list, and this is something that no other direct mail company does, we will literally publish 250 direct mail newsletters to 250 different contacts on your mailing list. And people would go, well, obviously you're not going to send them the same letter, like everybody gets the exact same piece of paper.
Yeah.
But in essence, this is what other companies are doing. They're creating one piece of paper and they're copying it 250 times.
Yeah.
What we're doing is we're creating a unique piece of paper for each person. Let me go further. You know a first name and a last name. You know a mailing address.
Yeah.
Now we want to know things like what language does the person speak? And a lot of times what happens is an agent goes, well, I only speak English. That's all I care about. Yeah. That's what you care about.
Right.
But there's people that speak a second language. Why not put a portion of the letter in a second language? Well, why the hell would I do that? I speak English. Because when you do that, they're going to pay attention a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Much the same. We're going to ask holidays. We ask relationship type, right? If I treated you like a past client and I said, Ryan, I love the fact that you've been a coaching client of David Greenspan Coaching in the past. We're really looking forward to, you know, having you back and, you know, tell people about what we do. You'd be like, I never coached with you, man. Right. Yeah. Whereas if you did coach with me and I'm like, listen, I'd love to earn your business one day. I'd love you to come and work with me. You'd be like, dude, I was a client or I am a client. Why? Is it? Right. So by understanding relationship, we can have the proper CTA, call to action, within the letter. And now we know if we're talking to an influencer, we know if we're talking to a past client, a potential client, a friend, a family member, a shop owner, we know who we're talking to.
Yeah.
Right. You could be talking to your mortgage broker. You might just tell them, hey, like, you know, I got your people covered. Keep sending people my way, right? So who are we talking to? Relationship tells us that. House type, ownership type.
Yeah.
If somebody's living in a condo apartment, should we be telling them, and they're renting, should we be telling them how to renovate?
Yeah, exactly.
No, they're renting. Should we be telling them about backyards? No, they live in a condo apartment, right? Yeah. So understand, you know, how to clean your eaves troughs in the fall or something, right? Like, understand who you're talking to.
Yeah.
So now through the different data, the variables, and we give you these drop-down menus, like a multiple choice questionnaire with no wrong answer, right? But as you pick and choose the right variable for each person, you've now put together this individual's newsletter.
Yeah.
And so every month, the content is going to be completely geared towards that person based on what we know about that person.
That's great.
Right? Now you take all that content, you go, well, we put it in an envelope. Yeah. Now, putting it in an envelope to get it to somebody at their mailbox, it's not the same feel as a postcard or a flyer.
Yeah.
Right. And we do flyers as well, but this is why that this goes to the next level, right? It's not the same feel. It's like, hey, somebody just sent this to me. And just like you said about the way you go through your mailbox, we all do it. Yeah. We look for the bills and we look for the invitations and then anything that's exciting that stands out.
Yeah. That's what makes it in the door. I spread it in my fingers. I put my good stuff in between this finger and my junk mail in this finger. And then I just go, and then I go, okay, done. And that's it.
There you go. We and filter.
The envelopes stay in one hand and the junk mail goes in the other. Yeah.
The envelope. So that's a big step. Yeah. Now it's why that envelope?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you see your name. It's not dear homeowner.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not nothing. It's actually addressed to you.
Yeah.
You see me, the person who sent it. So you're like, oh, I know him.
Yeah.
We also put a real stamp on there. Mm-hmm. Not the pre-printed black indicia you see. Not that red meter. I'm talking, it looks like it got, I mean, we got a machine that does this, but it looks like it licked and stuck on that envelope, which says what? To most of us, 9 out of 10 of us, somebody put that on for me.
Yeah,
I know the person, it's addressed to me. I'm taking it to the door.
Exactly.
Cool. So our open rates are very, very high.
Yeah.
We've got the threshold introduction where we break into the house, right? Now that they're there and you open up, says, dear Ryan, or hey, Rye, or hey, bud, right? Like what, however we talked, if I mean, I might have a nickname for you, bro. Yeah. And I might put that in there. And when you see that, you're like, this is Dave talking to me.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're still glued to the paper. Right. So we've used this variable data publishing to say, look, yeah, we're going to create 250 unique letters to 250 unique people. And now you've got massive relevance. You got a ton of value. Yeah. And it's all, this is a cool thing too. It's completely up to date. So for example, our January newsletter, cutoff hasn't happened yet. Cutoff will always be the first Thursday of the month for that month. So you can update your contact list. You can put in three properties you want to showcase. And that's all you need to do. Yeah. And if you didn't do it, we got you covered. Then we go to production, and within literally 10 to 14 days, that thing's in on the street in mailboxes. That's awesome. So it's fast, it's timely, it's up to date. Like, you don't find that stuff. I mean, geez, the stats from some, most of our boards are 2 months late.
Exactly.
Right? We're on the ball, and we've even changed content on the fly. So anyways, you can tell I'm passionate about that kids, like our kids product and newsletter.
As you should be.
It really has, it really is an industry leader for it. I mean, we won back in 2016. We won a global award. It was handed to us in Germany. So we had to fly out there to accept it. Global for personal promotion marketing.
That's awesome.
For the KITS program. Yeah, it was very cool.
That's awesome. And yeah, it's not just personal promotion. It's personalized personal promotion.
Oh, yeah, man.
And that's the key part. And that's huge. I think the other part of it too, is that a lot of agents miss is that they create marketing channels, and then they kind of keep them in their own silo. So they'll do a newsletter, then they'll do social media, and then they do something else, and they don't tie them together. We've talked about it, the strategy stacking. If you're doing a newsletter, do a video as well around that, and do a shoot. You could tag and target your audience, or if you've got a Facebook group that you're targeting and saying, hey, newsletters are out, can't wait, looking forward to it, and tying it all together so that people know the brand really pulls together. But a lot of people do tips and tricks on one thing, the newsletter on another thing, and then it doesn't have any congruency. Is that the word? It doesn't really tie together.
Absolutely. And I mean, but this is even doing your audit, right? And we talk about a brand audit, and it's really like pull together everything you have. I'm talking everything, even that one-off door hanger you once did, right?
Yeah.
Pull it all together and have a look at it online. Or pardon me, have a look at your online, have a look at your offline and go, is this consistent?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Is my brand image consistent? My photo consistent? Does anything need to be updated?
Yeah.
Do I have that circle going, right? So in your email signature, does it link back to your website and have your social media? Does your website, you know, say, hey, you could subscribe to my email and my newsletter? And does it link to your social and vice versa and everything there? It's the same thing we do, the podcast, the videos, the farming, whatever it is. Everything's got to tie back together.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It just makes it so much easier to remember who you are.
I think with your system, the great thing too is that for a lot of agents, creating it is where they struggle. And I've discussed this with agents many times. They talk about newsletters and things like that. And they go, who do I go to? What do I get done? I don't know how to do it. I'm not a writer. I'm not whatever. And then they either hire someone to customize it, like personally write it, which is expensive. Or then they go the opposite, where they go super generic, and or they just don't send anything, and they're afraid of creating content because they're not good at creating content, and that, or they get started, they get excited about it, and then a month goes by, and then they forget next month, and then it's like, well, I'll send it next month, and then nothing happens. So for your system, it's automated, like you said, on time, the same time, and that's a big, for a lot of agents, it's a big thing where it's like you can set it and forget it. And again, I've been 13 years in the business. That's one of the biggest failures for most agents is the consistency. It's that,
well, look,
not doing it on time, every time, the same time. And that's what will make a big difference.
Why do people hire people for their social media? Because they can't get involved in it. They're not consistent enough. And it's the crazy part is, it's like when you look at something like direct mail, it's going to have a hard cost no matter how you slice it.
Yeah.
Right. Because even if you're going to do it at home, you still got to buy the envelopes and the stamps and all that stuff. Right.
Yeah.
The beauty of, like with us, I mean, the volume that we're doing, you know, on a month, we can help you with postage rates. We can help you with all that stuff. And we've got the machine to get the whole thing out the door so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
With social, you can hire somebody to do it too. But again, when you look at hard cost, the only hard cost is the fact that you don't want to put in the time.
Exactly.
Right? So you go hire somebody, but now you're talking like 4 or 5 times the cost.
Yeah.
To me, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, exactly. So we talked about the new agent getting started. What would, if someone wants to take it past that next level, what kind of things do you offer just past the newsletter for an agent? Or is that kind of the core starting, or is there like, is it a la carte? Or like, what does the systems look like for them?
When somebody comes in, we, they certainly want to come up with a contact list. We want to get them set up for the direct mail newsletter. It is highly, highly encouraged that they set everybody up on an auto send email newsletter as well. And like I said before, it is different content and it's sent at a different time of the month. So it's not like you're sending the exact same piece. It's a completely different channel with completely different information. Yeah. So we highly recommend they do that. We highly recommend that they take advantage of the curated social content because, again, it's there. It's included in the package. You don't have to pay for this stuff. Yeah. It's all just part of the value add. And now you've got additional content to be able to post out to social. What's one of the biggest reasons we don't post? I don't know what to say. We got you, right? And it doesn't take away from the fact that you need to do some of your own stuff, let people into who you are, but we'll give you some smart content that we've already curated. Program, you do get the CRM. It's built for realtors. This is literally after thousands of conversations with real estate agents. We've built this specifically for the real estate world. So again, we really encourage taking advantage of that because, you know, the bigger part to all of this is where are you keeping the contact record?
Yeah.
Where are you tracking the history? What marketing are you sending to them? And through the KITS system, you can literally take that entire umbrella, put it over everybody and say, okay, I got my paper checked. I got my email checked. Yeah. I got some of my social checked. And I can even put them on a call list and the system will remind me when to pick up the phone and call.
Yeah.
Now, as we go back to the seven ways to communicate, you know, we even offer the website, right? So you can step up to the website. Websites are only $18.95.
Yeah.
So I know those people go, well, what can you get for that? Let me tell you, the reality has the IDX, it has the lead capture, it has, you know, the ability for you to make changes to your website on the fly through the back end of your CRM without having to call anybody.
Yeah.
And it's not like you got to program anything. It is like ridiculously simple, right? So it's got all the tools that a website requires. And because you're using the KITS program, you get it for only $18.95 a month, right? Now, beyond that, when we start looking at like, you know, we're on top of our contact list, we're using the seven ways to communicate. Now we want to get out there and build a little bit more. Now we help people, you know, launch their farm by going out and actually picking a neighborhood, farming that area and sending out the flyers to them.
And to that point, I think too, that people may be listening to this and saying, well, I've got a contact list and I've got my own database. I wanted to go farming, which we talked about on your show when I was on that. In reality, my opinion is your farm, your real farm is the people in your farm that have put their hand up. It's the people that have said, I would like more information. You, like you said, you'd have the two groups. There's the first group and the second group. The second group, you're trying to get them, you should be doing everything to get them to put their hand up to take that next step, not just get your name out there. And you said that that first group is the ideal person who knows you, like you, and trusts you. And we want to move our farm into that. Whereas a lot of people, when they think of farming, they think, I just want to blast everyone, just blast my stuff out there, just get it out there and get it out there. And that's great, but it's not as effective as getting people into your database, getting them into your communication web, and then communicating them further than that. And that's where some agents struggle with spending that money. But like you said, if you could spend $15 a year and know that that person is being taken care of and communicated with, that's a better source than spending $5 to someone who's never even going to do any deals with you or care about you.
I mean, right. Like how many times have you seen it? I, you know, there's one in particular that stands out to me where I remember coming home one day and in my, like the door handle of my door. So somebody physically put that there, right?
Yeah.
Was a number 10 envelope, handwritten on the front saying a gift for you.
Mm.
Now, not addressed to me, David.
Yeah.
Okay. No return address from who it's from. But it's definitely written in pen.
Yeah.
It's in my door. So you're inclined to open it. I look at it. I open it up. And I see this, you remember they still do them, those like 99-cent business card magnet calendars. It's like, it's got your card and it's got this tear away, whatever.
You stick your card on top of it.
And okay, right. So I open it up and it's this for this one realtor. And I thought, okay, thank you, right? What next? I'm always thinking, right? You want to build mindshare. You want to have an effective time. What's next?
Yeah.
Do you think I ever saw or heard from that lady ever again? Exactly. Zero.
Exactly.
So she didn't introduce herself to me.
Yeah.
She took the time. She spent the money to put this thing in my door and then never followed up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's almost as bad as the realtor who does a deal with somebody and then never follows up.
Exactly.
Right? It's like, you've got gold sitting right there and you're like, forget it. I'm going to go and spend all this money to go find some more gold.
Yeah.
Yo, right over there. Nah. I'm going for some new one. Right? Like, hello. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. And that's what the mistake a lot of people do. And again, that's where you've seen when people say the farming doesn't work. They tried something for a month or tried something for 2 months. They blow their budget massively and then never follow up with anything else. I've said this many times. I'd rather see you do 500 homes for the entire year than 5,000 homes once, because the one-time touch is not going to make any difference. It's not going to get anything from it. And yeah, it's
now, speaking of calendars, I should bring up that, you know, yes, how do you take it to the next level using that same VDP technology?
Yep.
It also offers the WOW calendar.
Yeah.
And the WOW calendar is just, I mean, it's exactly that. It's WOW. You know, we're taking the person's name, first name, last name, salutation, you know, so again, if it's Rye versus Ryan, what up, Dave, Mr. Greenspan, yo buddy, dog's names, kids' names, and we work it into the calendar so that now when they flip the pages and they look at that image in the calendar, their name is going to be engraved into the picture.
That's cool.
Right? So written in the snow, carved into an apple, in the clouds, in the beach. Yeah. We go, I mean, every year we come up with some wicked, crazy, cool, different designs for it, but talk about WOW. You know, so now you've taken maybe your $15 a year to like 20.
Yeah.
So for 20 bucks, we're going to be able to stay in somebody's home for 365 days. And you might be going, yeah, but who uses calendars? This is not about using the calendar.
Yeah.
Their name is in the picture. Yeah. Your name is at the bottom of every single page. They can't even cut you off because they cut their name off. They're keeping it because it's their name. Yeah. You are building mindshare. But it's not just the calendar that sticks around 365 days a year. Now, and probably longer because they love it, but now you're also sending a newsletter every year, every month. You're sending an email. You're making their phone calls. I mean, hell, if you can't crack the deal at that point, they don't like you. Exactly. You know what I mean?
You weren't going to get it regardless.
Yeah, you weren't getting the deal anyways, right? Yeah. But I mean, talk about building mindshare, talking about using the additional channels, talk about taking a farm area. Somebody puts their hand up. Let's move them into my first-class program.
Yeah, exactly.
Let them know they matter.
That's awesome. So if you were to give advice to agents as a final piece of advice for getting started and using something, either your system or something like yours, what would you suggest?
I would suggest that everybody goes through their AMH, go through your audience, marketing, and hustle. You want to review who is my main audience. And that goes both ways. One, check your contact list, do an audit of the list, make sure you've got everybody that you know, like, and trust on that list. That goes right down to influencers, potential clients, past clients, friends, and family. I don't care if you don't think they're going to do business with, if you know them.
Yeah.
And it would piss you off if they didn't work with you, put them on the list. The other part of the audience is recognize where your farm area is, right? Recognize that neighborhood that you're trying to break into, that community, that couple streets like we talked about the other day, right? Sometimes it doesn't have to be huge.
Yeah.
But pick an area that you can start to take ownership over. So on both sides, group one and group two, identify your audience. And don't tell me it's homeowners, because that is millions upon millions of people, and you haven't got that budget.
Yeah.
Okay. Next, once you've identified your audience, identify your marketing. So let's figure out how much money do I have to be able to spend on all this stuff, right? Because once we understand our needs and our wants, and I'm talking like in life, I have to pay my mortgage, I have to pay insurance, I have to put groceries on the table. Once you determine all that, then figure out, I've got the whole equation for you. I know I'm going through it quickly here, but once you figured all that out, now we know how much money we can put towards marketing.
Yeah.
Well, okay, now let's break it down. What am I currently doing for the people I know? What am I currently doing for the people I don't know? Am I on, over, or under budget? And if I'm under, what additional funds have I got left over? And let me look at my marketing strategy now that I know my budget and go, am I using all seven ways to communicate?
Yeah.
Am I supporting each channel with something else? Because it's not enough to just use one and say it once.
Exactly.
I want to hit you from all angles and make sure you're seeing it, because I don't know where you're looking.
Yeah.
And then finally, it's the hustle. Nothing is easy, okay? Anything that is worth having is not easy. So in order to actually make any of this come to life, you've got to put in the effort.
Exactly.
So now you need to analyze, okay, I know who I'm talking to. I know how much money I can spend doing it. I know what I'm doing to help myself, but how am I supporting what I'm doing? Me being here with you today, which thank you again for the invitation, this is part of support to my overall building mindshare.
Yeah.
The video that went out today, the email newsletter that's going out later on today, all the phone calls that are going to be made, the meetings that are going to be had, they're all support.
Yeah.
So how am I going to support my efforts? And if we go back to the farming thing, which we talked about the other day, if you're going to send a flyer, if you're going to build some time in the community, and I know 96% of realtors hate doing this, but I highly always suggest it. And let's put a little asterisk because of COVID here, but get out there and door knock. Get out there and go meet the shop owners. Go and, I mean, shake hands and kiss babies.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's important that you get out there, because if not, you are just an ad. You are just another logo. You are just another marketing piece.
Yeah, exactly.
And most people don't do it. So yeah. Don't be most people.
Exactly. And I think perfect way to wrap that up too would be that because everyone else can't do that because of COVID right now, everyone's going to be looking how they can spend their money, and they're probably going to be spending it on digital, and they're going to be going, how do I reach people? There's even that many more opportunities to get out and meet people, whether it's digitally and meet them, or whether it's sending them hard copy stuff and really ramping it up and not just dumping it all into social media. So awesome. Absolutely. I appreciate that. What's one book that you would recommend that either has impacted your life or you think would impact our viewers' lives?
Oh man, you know what? I'm firing through so many books on a regular basis. You just threw me for a left field here. You know, it's interesting. I've got a lot of different books. Like I am in the midst of right now, I am reading The Miracle Morning, which was highly recommended to me several times by people, and I never got around to reading that. I'm just looking back here. You know, there's one that I did like by Aubrey Marcus called Own the Day, Own Your Life, which was a really cool one. Recently read Unstoppable by Dave Anderson. Guerrilla Mindset, Atomic Habits, The Happiness Advantage. I mean, I could go through and through, man. Yeah. You know, there's so many good ones here. It's funny because I'm looking through. Now, I will tell you one that a lot of people either absolutely love or hate because of who he is, Grant Cardone.
Yeah.
You either love him or hate him.
Yeah.
For me, he lights a fire. Like I love his approach. He looks very brash with a lot of the stuff he does, but when you actually read / listen to his books, he's actually very humble.
Yeah.
He actually comes off with a lot of learning moments, and he really pushes you to excel. Now I'm going to give you one more,
you got to pick your number one.
Which was just fun. It's called The Gold Standard. Yes. Did you ever watch the show Entourage?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember Ari Gold?
Yeah.
So he wrote a book called The Gold Standard, and it's by Ari Gold, which is actually Jeremy Piven.
That's awesome.
Hilarious, man. You'll be laughing. Anyways.
I've been told I look like Jeremy Piven. That's what Ron James, an agent here, always calls me Jeremy Piven. So
Ron James. Ron.
Yeah.
I know Ron.
Awesome. Good, man. Well, that's good. So, okay. Cool, so, and if people want to check out what you're up to and connect with you, what's the best way for them to reach out?
Absolutely. Please check out mindshare101.com is my website. While you're there, there's a free download called the Ultimate Marketing Bundle for Realtors. Totally free. It's like 31 pages. There's a 90-day content calendar for social media in there. It's all free. Just like go and download that. It's right there on the homepage. I'd ask everybody, you know, subscribe to the Mindshare podcast. You can link to that through my website. As well as find me on Instagram, David Greenspan 101, and on Facebook, David Greenspan, your real estate industry coach.
Awesome. So check out the podcast, and don't just check out my episode. Check out other people's episodes as well, since I was on there. So
yeah, awesome. Absolutely, man. And it was a great episode for sure. Awesome.
Well, I appreciate it. It's been a great ton of different perspective, because a lot of agents, again, are afraid of that direct mail. I think it's a great way to really look at it. And I think if agents take the time to really dig into why direct mail works, I think this is a good precursor to that to help them really realize the value of it, because it is worth it. And I can personally speak from my own experience with my own business. Direct mail works. You just got to do it though. And it's the commitment. So thank you for being on here. That was great content, and I really appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks. Thanks for checking out today's episode. If you'd like more videos like this, be sure to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check out our Facebook page and our other social media channels. Looking forward to bringing you more great content like this, and happy farming.